the way of Christ, the way to truth. June the 6th, 2010, Town Creek, Alabama. The way of Christ is also the way of truth. Jesus came to this world to bear witness of the truth. We read in John 18 and verse 37 that Pilate said to Jesus, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Jesus was indeed the truth. He was full of grace and truth. John tells us in John 1 and verse 14, "And the Word being Jesus, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." John 1 and verse 17 goes on further to say, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." He is the truth. John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." To appreciate the significance of this fact that Jesus is the truth, we need to understand what truth is. First, by answering the question that Pilate asked in John 18 and verse 38, when Jesus said that he came to bear witness to the truth, Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" We need to answer that question, especially when so many today view the truth as relative. And it's depends on what truth you're looking for. What is truth? My truth, your truth, their truth. Everybody has a truth. It's what's meant by relative. Many have a relativistic view of the truth. And that may be what's true for me may not be true for you. But this is contrary to the correspondent's view of the truth. It is, say, what corresponds to factual reality. As used in the Bible, let's define the word truth. We'll look at some biblical words for truth. There are probably more than I could find, but there are at least five. Two of those five have their basis in one of the remaining three. But I want to look at those three because they are, like I said, one of them is the base of two of the five that I could find in Scripture. One is aletheis, which is translated as truth. It can be defined as unconcealed or manifest, actual, true to the fact. Alethanos, or alethanos, depends on your Greek teacher again, is defined as true and denotes true in the sense of real, ideal, or genuine. Also, Vine's definition. And then there is aletheia, which is translated as truth. This is the word that Jesus uses in the text that we read a moment ago, John 18 and verse 37. And objectively, it signifies the reality lying at the basis of an appearance, that which is manifested, or the veritable essence of a matter, the bottom line, as you have heard said before. When the Bible speaks of truth, it describes that which corresponds to reality, what is factual an absolute, not what is relative. Now, let's look at a few biblical statements regarding the truth. First of all, God is a God of truth. In Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4, we read there, He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. So God, the scriptures say, as the scriptures tell us, God is a God of truth. He's about what's real, the essence of what's real. Again, Jesus is the truth. Another biblical statement regarding Jesus being the truth. I am the way and the truth and the life. Again, John 14 and verse 6. And John 1 and verse 14, as we read a moment ago, that he was full of grace and truth. In John 8 and verse 45, Jesus is recorded by John as saying, And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Now, the word he uses here is one of the other five that actually means to teach truth or speak truth. Now, the Holy Spirit as well. So first, we've established the Bible tells us God is God of truth, that Jesus is the truth, and the Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth. In John 14 and verse 17, Jesus is recorded as telling his disciples, Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So, the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, is a spirit of truth. Then, last but not least, it's almost redundant in a way, is to say the Word of God is truth, because Jesus is the Word made flesh, and He is the truth. Jesus Himself said in John 17:17, Sanctify them through Thy truth, Thy Word is truth. And I believe that Jesus speaks relative to what God says and what Jesus was, the Word made flesh, or relating to. The judgments of God are according to truth. The psalmist in Psalm 96 and verse 13 said, For he cometh to judge the earth, he shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. And again, think about it. Jesus is the truth. We want to center everything that we can on that particular fact. Romans 2 and verse 2, Paul wrote, But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And Paul was talking about several things that are sinful in the sight of man and God. Remember, again, Jesus is the truth. And that John, and John 5, verse 22, and verse 27, verse 30, tells us that Jesus is going to be the judge of all souls in the end. On the judgment day, Christ will stand in judgment of us, and that he will judge according to the will of the Father. But we've established that the Bible asserts that God is true, that he's God of truth. He's real. He's about the real essence of things. He is the real essence of everything. God reveals truth. That is to say, God reveals reality, and he judges according to what's real, not what's relative or made up. So when Jesus says that he came to bear witness to the truth, it means he proclaims things as they are in fact, in reality. Denying it will not change reality. Now, with this understanding, shouldn't be that confusing. The reality is Jesus is the truth, the way and the truth. So let's consider Jesus as the way to truth. Now, first of all, let's look at Jesus' view of truth. Truth is knowable. It is something we can know. John 8 and verses 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed in him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus says, you can know the truth if you continue in his word and the things that he taught. We know that he gave the Holy Spirit in a miraculous sense to his apostles to guide them into all truth. It was by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that they wrote the very doctrine that Jesus taught down for us to read in what we now call the New Testament. John 14 and verse 26, again, Jesus speaking to his disciples in that time, the ones in particular he was speaking to, would become his apostles, or were on their way to being his apostles. He said to them in John 14, 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So Jesus says the Holy Spirit's going to help you remember everything I've taught you. He's going to help you remember the truth. He's going to guide you into all truth. John 16 and verse 13, Jesus said, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. And it goes on to say, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that is, what God says, and God's word comes through Jesus Christ. It says, whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So, the apostles became the source and repository of Jesus Christ's truth. We know that in Acts 2 and verse 42, it says that those people in that time, the Christians who made up the early church, the first congregation of the church, says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. In other words, they continued in the apostles' doctrine. You know, there are some who in this day and age, who would have us think that what the apostles had to say has only limited emphasis regarding God's will for us in this present age. But they would do well to remember the words of Jesus in Luke 10 and verse 16, when he told his disciples, he that heareth you heareth me. He that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. In other words, if you don't want to listen to what the apostles have to say, then you despise God. And God is a God of truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. His word is truth. You see how it all comes full circle. The truth Jesus wants us to know is knowable, and it has been revealed by his apostles. Now let's consider his realm of truth. In particular, the reality of the kingdom of God. That is, the rule or reign of God in our lives. Jesus taught that it was the coming of the kingdom was at hand, that it was near. Matthew 4 and verse 17, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he taught that the kingdom should have priority in our lives. It should come first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Matthew 6 and verse 33. So his kingdom, the reality of the kingdom of God, is that it should reign in our, God should reign in our lives. So Jesus bore witness to this truth. Again, he came to bear witness to the truth, and he bore witness to the nature of God's kingdom, his kingdom, actually, the kingdom of God, Jesus Christ. John 18 and verse 36, Jesus told Pilate that my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now, is my kingdom not from hence. So at that time, the kingdom or the church had not been established. So the realm of his truth extends into and out of the kingdom of God over which Jesus Christ rules. And he bore witness to the nature of this truth. Also, let's think about in the realm of his truth, the reality of the problem of sin. You see, sin enslaves souls. And Jesus' doctrine offers the truth that sets one free. Remember John 8 and verse 31? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But if you look at verses 33 through 36, you see, the Jews answered Jesus here and said to him that we're Abraham's seed and we were never in bondage to any man. How do you say we shall be made free? In other words, they said, we're not slaves. What are you talking about? But in verse 34, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant or slave of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, make you free, you shall be free indeed. In other words, sin's not going to exist forever. One day it'll be an end put to it in the judgment. But if you're a part of what God is establishing, a part of his kingdom, a part of his truth, his reality, then you will abide ever with the Son and the Father. Jesus is the embodiment of truth, and his truth reveals how Christians should live in righteousness and holiness, unlike those that Paul speaks of in Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 19, who are blinded and hardened by sin. But like those he speaks of in Ephesians 4, verses 20 through 32, who are renewed in their minds, speaking truth and living right. In Jesus' realm of truth also, we should mention the reality of the resurrection day. Remember, in his realm of truth is the kingdom of God, the reality of the problem of sin that it enslaves people, and also the reality of the resurrection and the day of judgment. He taught the fact of the resurrection. In John 5 and verses 28 through 29, Jesus said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto a resurrection of damnation. Jesus taught that he and his words would be the judge. Remember, the judgment is committed to him. John 5 and verse 22 reads, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. And Jesus said again in John 12 and verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Jesus will be our judge on the judgment day. And his own resurrection from the dead is proof that there will be a resurrection and a judgment day. The truth Jesus wants us to know, that truth that is knowable, relates to living under the liberating rule of God rather than under the bondage and guilt of sin. And in this, we live in the kingdom of God as willing and faithful subjects of Jesus Christ our King. Now, before we conclude today's lesson, I want us to look at a couple of thoughts on following Jesus as the way to truth. Now, most will not do this. Most choose the broad and easy way, and that leads to destruction. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You know, a lot of people choose the wide path because it's easier, It's quicker. It's more seductive. And they follow it. Even many who profess to follow Jesus as Lord are not truthful. They are not fessing up the truth, in other words. Jesus said in that same chapter, Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." In other words, we've got to do God's will. We've got to see what the truth is. We've got to know that it's a reality. We have to obey God. Jesus said in verse 22, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" And then, think about this, Matthew 7 and verse 23. Horrible words. I'd hate to hear them being spoken to me. "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity or lawlessness." Those that do not follow the truth, those who do not submit themselves to the will of God, to the kingdom of Christ, realizing the reality of the problem of sin, realizing that one day there will be a resurrection of the dead and a judgment day, in which we will be judged by the words of Jesus Christ. Many turn their ears away from the truth. They just don't want to hear it. I mean, they hear you telling them, but they don't want to accept it. Paul told Timothy that the time would come that people would turn their ears from the church, from the truth of God's will, and turn away from the church. He said, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in the kingdom." All right, so there's another scripture that tells us Christ will be the judge. He said, "Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables or unto lies." You know, the way to truth can be a very lonely road, but it's one we must follow if we wish to spend eternity with God. Those who do truly follow Jesus walk in truth and love. John, 2 John verses 1 through 6, John said, "The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also they that have known the truth, for truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love." Notice how many times he says truth. "I rejoice greatly," he said, "that I have found my children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. Now I beseech thee, lady," speaking to the church, "not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. And this is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it." To walk in truth and love. Those who do follow Jesus will walk in truth and love. They will live according to the truth. And God's word is truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. God is a God of truth. Those who truly do follow Jesus, they will patiently teach others the truth. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verses 24 through 26, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Paul tells Timothy it's the truth that will rescue people out of the trap that the devil sets for them. Knowing truth is no excuse for arrogance or self-righteousness. Those who truly do follow Jesus will walk in truth and love, and they will patiently teach others the truth. In conclusion, and the lesson is yours, we live in a world of great moral uncertainty. Many no longer know what is right and wrong. Many claim there is no right and wrong. Because of this, they stumble in moral darkness, ruining lives in the process, their own lives and the lives of others as well. The way of Christ is the way to truth. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. John 8, verse 12, Jesus says this. And those who follow him, Jesus said in John 12 and verse 46, will not abide in darkness, seeing things as they really are. Our lives can be saved by the truth, by that beacon in the darkness, Jesus Christ. Won't you let Jesus Christ be your guiding light? Won't you let him be your guiding light? The light that's showing you the way to what is true and real. Won't you do that today if you're within the sound of my voice and you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? I urge you to do so while there's time. You hear God's word, the truth. Do you believe it is the truth? Well, if you do, you know there's sin in your life and you need to repent of that sin. That's the truth. And then you need to confess your belief of the truth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And all your past sins will be forgiven. That's the truth. Are you a Christian now? Have you obeyed the gospel and fallen away from God's light and truth? You know you got to live according to the truth, or you will be judged by the truth, and that's the truth. I know this all sounds a bit redundant, but it's a fact. The question today is, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, or if you're a Christian that needs to be restored to the church, the question is the same one that's always asked. What are you waiting for? Won't you obey the truth today? Because the truth of the matter is this, today is the day of salvation.